Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the completion date for the new National Children's Hospital is to be further delayed. The National Paediatric Hospital Development Board is appearing at the Public Accounts Committee as we speak. It began with David Gunning, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the Development Board, telling the committee that the completion date looks set to be February of 2025 now. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Brian Turner, who's a health economist based at Cork University Business School in UCC, and also Professor Matthew Sadlier, who's chairman of the consultant committee of the Irish Medical Organisation. Brian, I'll begin with you. What's your initial reaction to this? Once again, we hear that costs are going up. It's an already record-breaking project in terms of what is being paid for it. And it's likely to be delayed possibly now, according to the board, 2025. Brian Stanley, the chair of the Public Accounts Committee, speculating that it could be into 2026 before patients are in that building.
I'm afraid, Claire, it's a case of the more things change, the more they stay the same. We've had umpteen delays now and cost escalations in this particular project. And I suppose it's disappointing, but it's not entirely surprising. I mean, we're almost used to delays and cost escalations now, which is the unfortunate situation. I mean, just to put this in perspective, the original estimate back in 2014 was around 790-800 million, if you include shared services. We're now looking at probably somewhere close to 2.5 billion euro. The original opening date was supposed to be August of 2022. Now we're being told substantial completion by February 2025. So now, in fairness, they're having mitigating factors. Well, we had COVID in the middle of it all. We've had the war in Ukraine having an effect on construction costs and materials and supply chain issues and so forth. So some of it is explicable, but it is very disappointing. And I suppose the bigger issue here is that, you know, the more additional money that's going into the National Children's Hospital, the less additional money there is for other health-related projects that are needed over the coming years.
Okay, just on the opening date. So we've heard a couple of different dates even as of this morning. So BAM is expected, the contractor, to substantially complete by February of 2025, according to the chief officer of the development board. But then Children's Health Ireland are saying it's going to take 6 months after that for the hospital to be operational. Then you've Brian Stanley this morning saying, well, look, realistically, it could be 2026. When do you think it might be open?
Well, I suppose if we take February of 2025 as the substantial completion date, then, as you say, about 6 months after that then for fit-out and so forth. Now, again, that's assuming everything goes smoothly. So that kind of brings us up to August of next year. So I think what Brian Stanley is speculating is that this may not be the last of the delays. So certainly we're talking the second half of 2025 at the earliest before children are actually treated in the new hospital. Mm-hmm. And it may be beyond that. So I think that's probably what Brian Stanley is trying to suggest, that there may be further delays either to the substantial completion date or to the 6 month fit out.
Now, you mentioned that figure of 2.5 billion. That's expected to be the end cost. We know that the government has approved 2.24 billion and said no more. But given even what we're hearing today, it's likely to go well beyond that 2.24 billion, isn't it?
I suspect so. And I mean, I mean, obviously the government wants to try and put a cap on this because the costs have continued to escalate over a long period of time now. But at the same time, you know, we have quite a substantial number of claims being adjudicated on between the development board and the construction company. So, you know, it's likely that it is going to go beyond the 2.24 billion, despite the best efforts of the government or despite the wishes of the government. So, I suppose the only hope is that it won't go much beyond 2.24, but I suspect it will go a little bit beyond that anyway. Mm-hmm.
Can you explain and translate what might be going on with those claims between the contractor and the government and the board?
Well, I suppose I haven't had sight of the details of it, but I mean, certainly, you know, there are a number of claims in terms of cost escalation. You know, so it's basically a case of trying to decide who has to foot the bill for that, whether it's the construction company has to kind of absorb it, or whether the development board will have to pay it. So, as there are substantial claims in the adjudication process at the moment, it remains to be seen as to which side is allocated those costs.
Okay, and the board is saying that they are using all possible contractual levers to deal with that, but Brian Stanley says the board does not appear to have the necessary levers to be able to hold the contractors to account. So it's difficult to know what's happening there, but there is clearly a big issue there between the claims and what is actually being paid out by the board.
Exactly, and I suspect it's almost inevitable that some of the claims will fall due for payment on the development board side. So it would be very optimistic to suggest that they'll be successful in fighting all of the claims. So it's a case of how much of the claims will be allocated to the development board versus absorbed by the construction company.
Could this end up in court?
It's possible. I suppose there's a kind of an element of jeopardy there, though, in that if the claims go to court, then you could potentially add legal costs onto any claims that have to be paid by the development board. So, on the one hand, they may wish to go down the legal route in order to try and put a lid on costs, but that could actually end up adding more costs. So it's a very delicate balance there in terms of which way to go on that one.
Okay, Brian, stay with us because I want to bring in Matthew Sadlier here, Professor Matthew Sadlier, who's chairman of the Consultant Committee of the IMO. Now, Matthew, the longer this goes on, the longer you will have children being treated by frustrated medics in dated facilities. And I would imagine there's not much investment going into those existing facilities because everybody is waiting for this new children's hospital.
Well, you put your finger on it there. I mean, this is sort of a bittersweet thing for ourselves and our members because obviously on the one hand, this will be a phenomenally good facility when it opens and we've been looking forward to it for a long time. But on the bitter side is that it is taking far too long for this project to be completed. And I suppose the difficulty with anything to do with paediatrics or childcare is that some of the children that this was initially intended to treat will now have aged out of, you know, that age group and won't ever actually get to see the inside of the hospital. We have a significant concern about this, you know, how long this project has taken and how far it has overrun, especially if you look at the context of Minister Donnelly's announcement yesterday of the additional hospital beds in the rest of the system that they're promising by, I think it's 2031. Like, you know, if it goes down this road, those extra beds they're promising mightn't be delivered till 2040. So what we'd like to see is some sort of process that the government can come up with that will streamline these critical hospital infrastructure processes, being able to be built, being able to be delivered, being able to be delivered on time to allow the system to work and get rid of the overcrowding that we have and are currently, as you kind of say, constricted, outdated infrastructure that we practice healthcare in at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And are you aware that there isn't much investment going into the existing paediatric facilities because there is the hope of this new hospital coming on stream?
Well, it wouldn't be my direct area, especially, but from people on our members who work in that area would say yes, that obviously, you know, the existing facilities, there isn't the same updating that you'd expect in a facility that's going to be, you know, ongoing for a long period of time. So it is a very frustrating period where people, you know, are thinking that they're moving their work. You know, it was supposed to be early next year. Well, actually, sorry, as your other contributor said, it was actually supposed to be 2 years ago. But, you know, it's now looking to be the year after that. And we know that the commissioning and the fit out of the building can often take longer than expected as well. So it is a real frustration for our members at this point.
Yes, I mean, just going back to what we're expecting to see happen so that the building will be handed over in February of 2025. I mean, it's very difficult to say how long it's going to take then to fit it out so that it's ready for patients. But do you think it's not a wild assessment then? You know, Brian Stanley saying it might not receive patients until 2026. Do you think that might be accurate?
As I say, that's more probably for some more building and technical expertise myself. But I mean, certainly from my experience, that is what you're saying. But I mean, our fear is twofold. our fear is onefold that these projects taking so long to reach fruition that the planning for them, i.e. either the bed capacity or the technology that's in the building that is planned for, may already be outdated by the time the project is delivered. And, you know, that is one of our main concerns. And obviously our second concern is it's absolutely fine building a 380-bedded paediatric hospital, which will be fantastic. But if we don't have enough staff to staff it, you know, we already have healthcare buildings in the country where we've got closed theatres, where we've wards closed and these sort of things because of staffing issues. So what we'd also like to see in parallel over the next years until this the infrastructure is complete is a robust recruitment and retention plan for how it's going to be staffed so it can operate effectively.
Mm-hmm. So given this experience that we're seeing being played out in real time, do you think, Matthew, there needs to be fast tracking of planning for medical facilities?
100% I do. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, now people can tell me that I'm biased, and I probably am, in fairness. But, you know, these are essential public infrastructure that, you know, benefits everybody who's living in the country. And thus, you know, there must be something within the planning regulations to identify that, to identify that these projects are, you know, in generally a public good, and to allow them to be fast-tracked, whether it's fast-tracked or allow certain objections not to be have the same weight as if, you know, these buildings should not be treated the same as if they were a hotel or if they were a commercial premises. You know, they're there for the public good, and there should be a sort of a fast-track method by which they can both be, the planning can go through to allow the tendering and all these process to happen in parallel for these projects to be delivered on time and, you know, on budget, because obviously the longer they go, the bigger the budgets get.
Brian, do you think there's merit in that suggestion?
In fast-track planning?
Yes.
I mean, certainly it would help, but I suppose the planning isn't necessarily the cause of the delays in this case, so in terms of the planning system. So planning in it, with a small p perhaps may have gone a little bit awry. But I mean, the construction of the National Children's Hospital, if I'm not mistaken, began in 2016. So it'll be 9 years later when it's actually completed, albeit that, as we did have the pandemic in the middle of it. But even still, that is far too long for a project because, as Matthew has alluded to, you know, delays go hand in hand with cost escalations because the more time goes on, the more construction inflation is increasing. And this has very significant implications for the other projects that are coming down the tracks. We've already seen significant delays to the National Maternity Hospital with the wrangling over the location of that. We now have plans for elective-only hospitals in Dublin, Cork and Galway. We have primary care centres, mental health facilities, you know, long-term residential facilities. We have a huge public infrastructure programme in the health area and in the wider public area as well, coming down the tracks over the next few years. So we have to learn the lessons of the National Children's Hospital and ensure that this does not happen again.
Mm. Well, Matthew, you know, raised that appalling vista that this is going on so long that maybe some of the facilities might be outdated in medical terms by the time it opens. Is that a risk, Brian?
I suppose the physical infrastructure will be brand new once it comes on stream. The equipment and everything will be kind of left to the fit out stage. So I suspect that it will be top of the range or pretty close to top of the range once it is on stream. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it'll be necessarily outdated in that respect, but. So Matthew might have a better view on that than I would.
Do you think, Matthew, because all of that equipment will be going in after the building is handed over, so they'll be in the very late stages of this project, that maybe that might not be a concern?
No, I mean, what I meant to say there was more about the numbers needed to treat and the population growth, that the amount of beds that will be planned in it by the time, you know, because obviously, as Brian said, the project began in 2016 and our population was significantly smaller in 2016 than it is now. So it's more to do with the capacity. No, absolutely right. I mean, the equipment and that, and, you know, in fairness, medical equipment, you know, gets updated on a very regular basis.
Okay.
So the technology side of it, I'd be less concerned with. It's more the capacity side.
Okay, Brian, just to come back to you, Labour Party TD Alan Kelly, who's a member of the Public Accounts Committee, has just discovered that there have been 23,283 design changes to the building. Now, Alan Kelly will be on the programme later on this morning. Is that unusual to have so many design changes for the contractor to deal with?
That does sound like quite a lot of design changes. Now, that is one of the issues that has been raised by the construction company, that actually the design has changed along the way. So, I mean, again, in terms of planning with a small P, that is something that probably could have been done a bit better. But, I mean, 23,000 is a huge number. Now, unless that means, you know, that, maybe that is including, you know, very small changes like, you know, new light switches or something. I'm not sure exactly the details of that, but it's certainly on the face of it does sound like a huge amount of changes.
All right, we'll find out a bit more about that later on when we speak to Alan Kelly himself, who's in that Public Accounts Committee meeting. For now, though, Brian Turner from UCC and Professor Matthew Sadlier, thank you both for joining us on that story. And as I said, we'll have more coverage of this later on in the morning.